You need to find your niche and make sure you're in full alignment with it. There can be no questions here of where you are focusing, what your target audience is.
Welcome to She Leads First, a podcast for female entrepreneurs who are ready to build a brand that will become a revenue-generating machine. Hey guys, I'm Emily Sincotta, a brand and business strategist with years of experience in both marketing and online product development. Each week, myself and my guests are going to share our own experiences and knowledge with you so that you can figure out exactly what about your brand is going to keep people coming back for more. You'll leave this podcast equipped with the confidence to tackle those big goals that are going to scale the impact of your brand and your bank account. It's time for you to embody that CEO energy and start leading first. After all, you're building more than just a business. You are building a movement.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of She Leads First. You guys, right before I sat down to record, I have to share this with you. I just realized that I am officially halfway through my goal of doing 30 days in a row of hot yoga. Now, I don't know if you've ever done hot yoga before, but it is like a whole other kind of workout. It's not easy. Like, I know the word yoga can be deceiving, but especially like at the studio I go to, it's not just yoga classes. So they also have like Pilates style classes, they have bar classes, they have sculpt classes, which are my nemesis. And yet for some reason, I keep going back. So all this to say, I get my butt kicked every single day. But something snapped in me recently where I was like, you've got to flex this discipline muscle and you've got to go 30 straight days. And I hadn't been going to yoga at all, but I was in Arizona a couple of weeks ago for a photo shoot for my company Elevated Exchange. And I went with my friend and I was like, you know what? I really miss hot yoga. I'm going to go back. But because this is just who I am, I can't do stuff easily. I can't ease into things. I have to be all or nothing. Of course, I'm doing a 30-day challenge, but I have to share that with you because I realized today was day 15. I just got back from a sculpt class. It kicked my butt. I am tired, but I feel good. I feel good. I got over that initial hump where anytime you're trying something new, you get a little like tired and it's not fun. I'm past that and I'm starting to be on the upswing. And we're in an upswing season overall. I hope that you are feeling it. I hope you're feeling the spring energy and that things are starting to pick up for you, especially if you had sort of a heavy winter season. I know a lot of women that I've spoken to did. There's a lot of transformational energy going on in the air. There's a lot of things leaving our lives right now that aren't serving us as we move forward into this next stage and this next phase. So if you've been in one of those seasons, I just want to say, I see you, I feel you, I am you, I'm going through it with you, but I have definitely felt a positive shift as we move into spring here, and I hope that you are enjoying that as well. That leads me right into a fun topic for us to talk about today, because I got to do a really fun planning strategy session with a new client last week, and we sat down and we mapped out basically her plan for the next 3, 6, 12 months in her business to make it more scalable. And that means rolling out some new products potentially. And so we mapped out what those could be. We mapped out when those might roll out. And when you do big vision planning like this, where you are building out someone's offer suite, you know that things might change. As you start to take action, you get more clarity and some things might shift. And so we know that that's a case that could potentially happen with her as well. So when you're doing this, it doesn't make sense to build an extremely rigid plan, but you also don't want to wing it because that's how things don't change. That's how things don't get executed and don't get done is when we have no semblance of a plan. And so one of the natural questions that came up as we were doing this was like, well, where do I start? What do I put my focus on first? Where do I spend my time and energy? And what I want to share with you is what I was sharing with her intuitively as we were going through this, but there's actually a process for how you can evaluate what phase of business that you are in. And that's what I want to share with you today so that you can identify where you're at. And hopefully this can help you prioritize where you want to be spending your time and energy. Now, this whole concept of these four phases of business that I'm going to share with you are centered around scaling your business from the perspective of an ascension model or a value ladder. And if those terms don't mean anything to you right now, that's okay. They will if you dive deeper into my world, but essentially meaning that you have more than one offer and your offers build on each other. So there's an entry point offer in your world, then there's something that has a little bit more substance to it that takes people a little bit deeper on their journey. And then maybe you have a mastermind above that or some type of group coaching, and then one-on-one coaching or one-on-one services as like the peak offer in your world. So basically, your offers continue to ascend in price and value as clients move through them. That's all we're talking about here. But if you want to build out that value ladder, if you want to build out that ascension model in your world, we really can't build it all at once or it would be chaos. It would be absolute chaos. If you've ever tried to build it all at once, you know that that is true. So then how do we make this step by step? And this is where these four phases come in of building your scalable online business. And I'm going to walk you through those four phases today so you can identify where you fall and, like I said, what you should be focusing on. So are you ready? Let's dive in. Phase number one is the nail your niche phase. And this is an important one that is so tempting to skip. But this is the phase where, exactly like it sounds like, you need to find your niche and make sure you're in full alignment with it. There can be no questions here of where you are focusing, what your target audience is. So this is where you want to stay and you want to create consistent niched content for a minimum of 30 days. Why? Because we need to test out your niche and make sure it's right. You need to make sure that you have enough to say on it. You need to make sure that you can cultivate an audience around this. You need to practice making content and make sure that this is the niche for you. So if you have never done this, if you have never sat down and not pivoted your niche and not changed your bio for a minimum of 30 days, guess what? You're here. This is the phase you're in. This is the phase you need to commit to because it's going to give you so much clarity. If you're like, for 30 days, I'm going to make content on this. You are going to get so much clarity on the direction of your business just simply by creating that content. So that's phase number one, your niche alignment or nail your niche phase. Once you have nailed it, once you are clear on this is the direction I want to go in, this is the audience I want to target, phase number two that you graduate into is the offer ideation phase. Now, in phase two, this is where you are going to craft your offer and the marketing for it. And in the offer ideation stage, we include the first launch, which will be the beta launch, meaning this is your trial. This is your test. You're going to do it paid. Usually you'll do it at a discount in exchange for feedback on the program and testimonials. And so when you do that beta launch, this is might be a shock to some of you. So brace yourself. If you haven't heard me talk or someone else talk on this before, you're going to sell this before you create it. That is correct. I did not say that wrong. You are going to sell your offer before you build the entire thing. Now, that doesn't mean you sell it before knowing what's going in it. You're, of course, going to build the outline. You're, of course, going to build the bones. But I don't want you, I don't want anyone wasting your time building an entire course only to find out afterwards you didn't quite get it right and now you can't sell it. And yet you've spent 3, 6, 12 months writing and recording all of these modules for it. And then you go to sell it and something's wrong. And so you get crickets. And then you have to go back to the drawing board and you have to re-record, fix, tweak, change, whatever needs to be changed. I don't want you wasting your time like that. There's nothing out of integrity about selling before you create it, as long as everyone's on the same page of how and when the material is going to be delivered to them. So you can sell a course, for example, and say, hey, we're going to have a future start date. Don't make it crazy far out. Maybe it's a month after when they start, or maybe you prep the first months of content before you beta it, and then you drip or slowly release the content week after week, month after month, as people are going through this beta version of the program. But they're going to know that all ahead of time. You will give them ahead of time as they are purchasing, letting them know this content's going to be dripped. That's why you're getting this fantastic discount on it. And also, I'm asking this in exchange for testimonials and feedback on how to make the program phenomenal. So you're going to run a beta in the offer ideation stage. And the point of this is to, one, make sure people want it, make sure it's something you can sell. But number two, as I just started to say, find all the little kinks that you need to work out. Figure out if you've gotten the delivery method right. Do you need to change things? Do you need to take things out? Do you need to add things in? Are the lessons seamless? What needs to shift before you take this and you do your official launch for it? So you're going to launch this live. You're going to run your beta. If the beta is successful, then guess what? We are moving into phase three. In phase three, we're going to pick our official launch strategy. So you're going to choose how you want to launch this thing. How are you going to sell it? Most often, I recommend doing a masterclass launch. It works for 90% of things that you want to sell. There are other ways to launch, and I've talked about them on this podcast before. But typically, a launch that involves some type of live training or live masterclass is a great option for live launching your program. And as you're going through phase three of launch strategy, you're going to work on increasing the performance of whatever launch strategy slash system that you choose. And I recommend that you stay in launch strategy phase for a minimum of three launches. Minimum of three launches. Saying that again for emphasis. Where all you are doing is trying to refine and improve the launch strategy that you've chosen. So for example, make your content leading into cart open even more effective. Get more people to sign up for your free masterclass. Increase the conversion rate of your masterclass based on the design of the slides and the sales pitch at the end. Make your email follow-up sequence even better. Make the conversion rates of your sales page even better. In order to improve these components that I'm stating here, you need to have multiple launches under your belt because that's the only way that you're going to get enough people going through your launch strategy, aka going through your sales system, for you to get meaningful data on what needs to shift. You really can't collect enough data if less than 100 people saw your offer. And I'm not saying that as you need 100 people in your offer, but it's just hard to get meaningful data with very small numbers. If you've ever done any type of like statistics or data collection, you know, that was a big part of my marketing degree. I had to take like a year and a half of statistics. It was crazy, not fun. But you really learn that you need bigger numbers in order to get meaningful data. And so the number 100 that I'm throwing out is kind of arbitrary, but also kind of not. So we can still gather data with smaller numbers. I don't want you to think, oh, if I didn't have 100 people watch my masterclass, I'm screwed. That's not it. You're still going to learn a lot. But especially after we creep past the like 100 number of, let's say, somebody looking at your sales page, then we can start to get truer conversion rates. The more people we have going through a process, a system, a funnel, if you will. I don't like to use the F word because people get scared, but that's really what we're talking about here. The better your data will be and the more you can improve with confidence certain aspects of your strategy. So phase number three after offer ideation is launch strategy. And you're hearing me right. You might not like what I'm saying here, but you're hearing me right when I say launch the same offer a minimum of three times. That's how we're going to make it good. And a minimum of three times before you decide to add in another offer. Our offer suites are built one offer at a time. And I want to clarify, when I'm saying offer in this instance, in this specific instance, what I'm talking about specifically are courses and programs. You can be launching your course. And you can be in phase three in launch strategy, and you can be working up towards those three launches, and you might be able to get away in the meantime with launching something like a new one-on-one offer. It doesn't compete. It's a different category of offer, and it's targeting a very exclusive group when it's one-on-one versus trying to target something to the mass of your audience when it's a group course or program. So I want to make that distinction where if you're talking about like adding in a high level or a one-off offer here and there, where it's something that you're not going to repeat, it's a one-time thing, you can get away with throwing those in during phase three if you must. If you must. However, to get it right, I highly recommend that you focus your time and energy on scaling one offer at a time. And that leads me right into phase four, the final phase of these four phases of scaling your online offers and your online business, and that is scalability. So here is where we're going to continue to build out, as I mentioned earlier, your ascension model or your value ladder. So here you can potentially introduce new offers. And yes, those offers will likely, if they are new group courses, you're going to need to go through these phases again of offer ideation, launch strategy, and then we'll get back to number four. But you could be offering in what we call these back-end offers of support, where it's building upon your current offer. So if I have a group course, to give you an example and to make this tangible, that teaches, let's say, launch strategy, I can build out offers that you graduate up into after you have completed that course. So there could be, for example, a group coaching program for people who are alumni of that program, that course, that launching course, and want more support. That is not going to need to go through the same level of sophistication of trial and error for creation as the course itself, because the course teaches a strategy. The coaching has that course as the foundation, and we're coaching on top of it. So it's an upgrade to what you've already created. Same thing if that group coaching, then the step above that on your value ladder is one-on-one coaching for people who've been through the group coaching. You see what I'm saying? You're not creating new curriculum. You're creating additional levels of support for people to move through. So that will happen in phase four, in the scalability phase. This is also the phase where you want to focus on reaching more people. So we've built a sales system at this point because you've built the program, you've built the launch strategy for it, you've refined that launch strategy. So you know, hey, I know how to launch this thing. Okay, let's pump as many people into that, as many ideal clients into that sales system as possible. So this is where you might consider using paid ads to drive people towards that. I'm going to say the F word again, towards the funnel. Not the kind of effort you're thinking of. Funnels. This is also where you might look for other opportunities to scale and get in front of more audiences, such as creating an affiliate program. So incentivizing other people who have a similar audience or an overlapping audience to yours in terms of what they're interested in, getting them to be advocates for your program and sell it to their audience for you in exchange for a percentage of those sales. You'll start to see this now if you haven't seen this before. You'll see big brands doing this where they have massive affiliate launches where all the other big names in the industry are selling their programs for them. This is a great way to leverage other people's audiences that are complementary to yours and have them do a lot of the heavy lifting of finding new clients for you in exchange for a kickback. And this is also where you might branch out into multiple platforms if you are not on them already. But notice that these are things that only happen in that final phase. So after we've done all the heavy lifting of learning how to sell what we've got, we spend the most time in phase three, launch strategy, where we are really, really learning inside and out how the heck to sell that offer before we move on, before we add in new offers. You really want to make sure that you are moving through this in the way that it's designed to be moved through so that you have one clear priority at a time. So I challenge you to take a look at these four phases. Which one are you in business right now? Is it phase one? Are you nailing your niche? And you can't be in more than one at once. I'm going to say that right now. So you can't tell me, Emily, I'm nailing my niche and I'm coming up with my offer. One at a time. One at a time. You graduate through these. So number one is nail your niche. Number two is offer ideation. And remember, this is where you're doing your beta launch, testing it out. Number three is launch strategy, where you are choosing your sales system and you are launching a minimum of 3 times that same product. And then you get to graduate up into phase 4, which is where we start to care about scalability. You don't want to scale until you have something that's proven. And this is where we can also start to build out that ascension model or value ladder for whatever program you have already figured out how to sell. So I hope that this was helpful for you. I hope that you can identify which phase that you are in. Go ahead and screenshot this episode for me after you're done listening. Share it to your stories and tell me, like, on the screen, type out which phase you are in. Is it 1, 2, 3, or 4? I would love to see where you are hanging out. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope that you gained so much value from this episode. And as always, I will see you in the next one.